Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your goodness. You are faithful, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Flow through us tonight. Holy Spirit, reveal us your truth. We say yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I surrender to you. Flow through me freely, Holy Spirit. I give you thanks. I give you permission. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to share something the Lord been dealing with me concerning the gateway, concerning spiritual realm, concerning the kingdom mindedness. Our heavenly kingdom. And I'm not sure I can translate it, what he's been teaching me, and I trust Holy Spirit will do so. And I'm going to use text from Luke chapter 6 or Matthew chapter 7, Luke chapter 6 verse 37, 38. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And the Lord speak to me December 27, 2010. He asked me, he instructed me, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with yoke bondage. And I've been sometime meditating on that, even though like more than 10 years ago. And that kind of brought me today, how he'd been teaching me. He want me to live in the freedom. But there's sometime the devil use something, distract us from our gateway through eye, through thought, through thinking, the spiritual realm, and try to block the blessing of God, trying to stop the flow of God, the grace of God working in our life. Like Brother Robert said, we have the grace of God. So some grace work better than the other person. So there's some reason. And the Lord been showing me the way that we receive, the way that we measure God, the way we measure people will have impact on us. And oftentimes we measure ourselves among ourselves. It's not wise. We know that in scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So we need to measure God the way who he is. And the Lord want us to have discernment about him, judge him, like Sarah judged God, like even though she was 89, but she believed that God would give her a son. And she got a son. I believe Hebrew chapter 11, and we can take a look at that. And when we look in Genesis chapter 18, we don't see anything indication that Sarah like would believe what the Lord was telling her. But I believe later, when the Lord renewed her youth, and she recognized that God is God, and Hebrew 11:11 says, "By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." So the Lord started showing me I need to see God the way he really is. Oftentimes, I use my past life, and we come before the Lord. We see God the way, like according to my culture with raising and the background I was having. And the Lord want me to have freedom to see how good he is. He started showing me how we see Solomon. When God showed up to him in a dream and he responded to God, and first thing he mentioned, God, how great is your mercy, your kindness. So that's how he measured God toward his father and toward his, even though to himself. And we see that That's when he expressed the expression, and God's so happy, God's so pleased, the way that he acknowledged God, the way that he sees God, he measured God the way who God really is. And oftentimes, like when things happen or circumstance happen, like we say, "Where are you, God? Are you still God? Like you're still loving me, care for me?" And things happen. Sometimes, I make some decision I shouldn't be making. And I've seen myself that often the Lord reminded me, I'm a good father. And you look out through history. So we're gonna take a look on, I believe in 1 Kings chapter 3, when God appeared to Solomon in a dream. And this is how Solomon responded to the Lord. I'm gonna start from verse 6 for the time's sake. And Solomon said, "You have showed great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. And you have continued this great kindness for him." So we see the Solomon expression, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. He know God is good God. He know the Lord. He is the Lord and care for his father, take care of all tribulation his father is going through. But God's still good to him. God still set them even until today to continue this great kindness. Sometimes we don't see the kindness of God. We like myself, I expect something less than I should be expected. The way I receive the Lord today, the goodness of God today, the manifestation of God in my life is reflecting how I see him, how I measure him. If I understand, if I have better understanding, if my revelation about the true nature of God, the discernment of God that I have, I'll tell you, my life will be totally different today. And but we're still learning, and I'm sure all of us are gonna learning to know him more. The more I believe we know him, the more the manifestation of his goodness display in our life, that the peace that we experience. And the joy that we have increased, and as you have continued this great kindness for him. This is in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Number 7, now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. And we know the Solomon expressing the gratitude to recognize his God is so kind, he's so good. I believe that make him recognize, even he consider himself as a child and God as a father, I would say. And he see that God is this all the God gonna take care of his people. He's put the pressure back to the Lord, and he give back everything that to the Lord, and forgiven him wisdom. He was asking wisdom later. We know that really pleased the Lord. But how he know that the wisdom, and he even wrote in Proverbs chapter 2, said, "For wisdom come from the Lord, out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding." God gives wisdom. He recognized the wisdom only come from God. Now we can have the wisdom of this world, but different than wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is superior. And we look at James chapter 3, talking about it from verse 14 going down. So we see Solomon recognize the goodness of God, recognize. And he judged God according to the standard, the measurement that he had given God, the glory. And we see the glory of God rest in his life, manifest in his life. All the kings of the earth sought for the presence of Solomon because God has put wisdom in his heart. And that's amazing. We can see. I would love to have like encounter with Solomon. When he sleep, he was just a normal person. When he wake up, he become the wisest king in all day. Let me read that verse. King, I believe, first in chapter 10, with 20. So Solomon, King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Which God had put in his heart, the wisdom. So our heart can receive the wisdom of God. Our head can receive, like, some information, but the wisdom is when God gave us wisdom, distinguish between right and wrong, good and evil, and that's have to be wisdom from the Lord. And we also see when King David responded when Prophet Nathan come to him in a second Samuel chapter 12. We start from verse 1. We see that Nathan, the prophet, come to correct David, and he didn't know it. He said, "There are two men, one rich and one poor. The rich man has many cattle and all kind of blessing, but the poor man only have one ewe lamb, and he's nourished and take care of when little has a daughter unto him. But there come a traveler to the friend of the rich one, and he refused to take his own, but to take the ewe lamb, the only one man, he's poor, the poor man ewe lamb, and dress it for his, for his friend." And King David was furious. He's furious. He judged furious. And we see that I believe if he would give mercy, God would give him mercy. Let's take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. Chapter 12, let's look at verse 4 and 5. Chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Let's look at 5. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, and the man who hath done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the land, because he did these things, because he had no mercy." So David judged no mercy. So he judged no mercy. And there's no mercy returned to him. We see that. But later he repented. God still had mercy on him. I believe after this he learned the mercy of the Lord from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him. I believe he wrote Psalm 103. He recognized now God is not the way that he need to understand. God is merciful. He need to be merciful. I think after this incident, I see David's life is totally different, and he recognized the same measure we give is measured back to us. So the Lord started teaching me from this. He wanted me to live free from judgment. Sometimes we have judgment on people, but we don't know. But if we judge in our head and in our heart, especially, already action already happened in the spirit realm. There's time like when I talk about somebody, just like normal thing like in the past, and the Lord would speak to me. Everything in the past I shouldn't mention, but when we mention, there's something is let's say we say something like already happened. We just like rehearse something happened. He's not happy with that idea. He said that in the past and the blood. When I do that, I put myself in the place of judgment, in a place of judgment. So he trying to teach me. Basically, he wanted me to live free. Don't buy into tactic of demonic or devil, because when I do that, look like I put judgment on other people or tell something, speak evil of other people. Even though we tell them the truth, thing happened, but he said you not ought not to focus on evil other people between them and God. Our part, my part, is to learn to love people, to pray for people. That's my part. It is like to me eye-opening, because like sometimes we just share something that, especially like I work like sometimes my staff their thing. We talk in front of them the same way, but when I got home, I talked to my wife about it. He's not happy. Our Lord is not happy. He said, "You already been dealt with. This thing is done. Don't rehearse, because you give place to the devil." Like, well, do not speak evil. That's how he called in James chapter 4, verse 11. He reminded me, speak evil of no one. So to me, like I'm just talking about something happened today, but he's not happy. He started telling me I shouldn't do that, because I opened door for enemy. And we go back to the story of David. We go down, and the Lord was mad at him. Not only so, because you did so, and you opened door for the enemy to speak against me. an open door for enemy to blaspheme me. And they say, the Lord, behold, I raise you. Let me see. If David would have doing right thing and express his heart rightly, I think gonna be a different story. So we see right here, and the Lord wasn't happy the way I know he did something, and he also kind of poured out no mercy on the person. And I find that the Lord showed me, when I give people no mercy, it's not good for me. And let me look at James chapter 4. James chapter 2, verse 13 to 13. For judgment without mercy to those, to the one who has shown no mercy, but mercy triumph over judgment. So the Lord showed me mercy triumph over judgment. So I need to give more mercy. I need to acknowledge our God is He's merciful. So we need to walk in mercy, merciful toward other one another. It's easy to say, but when we can count the people did something wrong to us, need the grace of God, we can do that. We can live in that place. And we see Abraham, when he judged God, that even though he's old, but he's trusting in God, can give him a child at old age, 100 years of age. And we know that recorded in Romans chapter 4, and he being fully persuaded, but God has promised he able to perform. And not written his sake alone, but for us also, to those who believe. So we thank God. So we need to believe the Lord as he is, so we can measure, we can give God the glory, the glory to who he deserves, who he is. And in order for us to continue to live in freedom, that our Lord Jesus already delivered us from all the bondages. Sometimes if we are not careful, we don't understand, we are just like, we don't careful. And the device from enemy can trap us sometime, held us hostage, or held us in bondage without knowing. And many areas we can apply relationship. There are some people I lost relationship. I didn't like it because the way I didn't understand. I'm like, wow. I just thank God for sharing with me, for teaching me, and I want to live a freedom in Christ, to free to love of His people, free to minister to His people. And live a free, just mental. That's really the Lord want me to walk in that place. Because that freedom, when we walk in that, devil has no right to control us, to stop us from. I learned from the Lord. And also in Proverbs, talking about it always pleases the Lord. He even can make our enemy to be at peace with us. That's amazing. We see when Solomon was walking with God. We see when David was walking with God, when King Jehoshaphat walking with God, and he caused all his enemy to be at peace with him, years. And the Lord showed me, if I walk in love toward one another, that's why he said faith work by love. Because when we walk in this, devil has no right to control us, no right to, even like our giving can be hindered, our life can be hindered from the blessing of God. If we partaker of unfruitful work of darkness, like my story when I share with my giving, I just gave the wrong place. He said, you're giving the wrong place. You partaker of the work of unfruitful work of darkness. Therefore, you will not have return, but return in evil instead of blessing. So we need to be careful who we associate with, because in spiritual realm, for instance, if we eat with somebody, we don't know them. They may practice something. If our faith is not like, I know the Bible said that we can eat, but I heard there's prophet when they go out, they even can't eat with somebody's house if they don't know. Because the devil in spirit used point of contact. I heard some one of a pastor, someone gave him something. Put him in his under what is it called? Under floor mat floor, under right the couch. Immediately after these people left, he started feeling something different in his house. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's something going on. So he prayed, asked the Lord, and the Lord showed him some of his friend left something in his house that from whatever demonic they were doing to cause. He said, "You got to take that away, throw it away." And he did and took it and he prayed for his house. He said, immediately the peace of God, the joy of God returned. So that kind of thing, we need to keep careful. And the Lord taught me one time when I went out to eat with all the friends, not really friends, just acquaintance. I used to work with them. And that night when I got home, the Lord rebuked me, "Do not be associated with these people. They do not love me. And you associate with when you go to under people's roof, you have no authority. I am under authority of other people. And I can protect her of their evil or badness if I eat." Because for us, like eating, like drinking, just normal, like human nature, like we go eat, especially my people, we love party, we love to eat. But in spirit realm, I am in contact with them. Attachment has been made, just like covenant when we eat, that kind of thing. I didn't know about this thing until the Lord taught me. Now, like, I'm aware of this. I go somewhere, if someone invite me to eat things, I'm like, I'm good. Because the Lord already taught me. Now, I'm not saying that you can't do that. No, you have to use discernment. In my case, the Lord taught me I don't want to be a point of contact from demonic. It is real, it's real. And they're a pastor, they're dealing with some demonic thing. I know if we know exercise our authority, but the thing is, when I go to somebody's house, I don't have authority in that house. Of course, I can, reject it after that, but in that moment, when I go into someone's house, I'm under their roof. So the Lord trying to teach on me on that. And I need to continue to realize we need to be aware the tactic of enemy trying to trap us. So we lost our freedom in Christ. We need to continue to stay as a child of God, stay free of offense, free from guilt, from shame, condemnation, and from unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is one of the things that, when we don't understand the forgiveness of God, when we understand how good God is, we might not forgive someone else. And sometimes the thing is subtle. We can't even see it, can't even understand it. Like my wife, she, for example, she had unforgiveness toward her mom. She didn't know about it until the Lord revealed to her and she recognized and she repented. And boy, it's become a beautiful thing that seemed last year, and our family never the same. So praise God. And so the Lord, this is the Lord gave me. He want us to think like our God is so good, to measure him so good. We can receive the measurement from him. Just like Psalm 103 or Psalm 23, David seeing God as the shepherd, our provider, our protector of life. And we look to him with mercy, look to him as a father, good father, grace, so we can give grace to others. We can give love to others. We can look at other people, showing mercy of God, showing the goodness of God. That's the key God wants us to live. So free from guilt, shame, condemnation. Because the same we condemn people, it comes back to us. Let's look at Psalm 103. I like this psalm so much. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And all a lot of psalm is really good, and we see in the Bible. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit, and recognize he's good, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth renew like eagles. Hallelujah. And Psalm, of course, 23, we all know, surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of life. I believe God wants us to set to have that kind of thinking, that kind of mindset toward him, that kind of glory that we set toward him, so we can receive the glory of God. Because when we look at Peter said, according to his divine nature, has given unto us all things pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him calleth glory and virtue. And we know God calls all things pertain to life and godliness. And the reason sometimes we don't receive it, there's lack of understanding, things like that. The truth, we already have this, or we already been blessed with. So it takes faith, it takes understanding to bring what God has given our spirit into physical body or in real life or manifestation outside in this physical world. And it takes revelation, you know, take revelation, take understanding of how the kingdom of God works is very important. And the same thing with finance, work with finance. The more we understand he's our supplier, the more we understand that, oh, God is my supplier. Therefore, I just seek after him, his blessing will follow. So before I didn't understand, like when he told me, labor not to be rich, cease from your own wisdom, I stopped working a few days. Later, I found out that that wasn't the truth. What his point is, I don't focus when I work to get money. I just focus, work for him, and the money will come. The same measure I measure my job, it will measure back to me. If I measure my job just can bring me, let's say, 50,000 this year, I will get 50,000. If I measure my job can bring me 100,000, I will have 100,000. I can prove that to you. I believe in this thing. So the Lord wanted me to measure whatever we do, we measure good. Good measure. We have to good measure, don't bad measure. The same we measure the grace of God, I believe the grace of God can come back to us. We need to measure, good measure of the grace, good measure of His mercy. His mercy will measure back to us. Because mercy is triumph over judgment. I believe He wants us to live in that place. And concerning workplace, you know, sometimes we set them such a measurement in our workplace. Let's say, oh, I just made 40,000 this year. So this is my job. Maybe next year I make the math like 42,000, 45,000. Why don't we measure maybe 60,000, at least like 60,000, 80,000? We will have that measure. The same measure we give, it will measure back to us. And the Lord started teaching on this thing. I'm like, whoa, now he want to measure a lot. I'm measuring a lot right now. I'm talking about million. I'm keep saying, I know you guys been hearing this last year or the year before, I thought, but guess what? One day I will get it. I will get it. Because he started showing me something that I'm like, whoa, I never know before. But the more we measure, the more we expect and see. And because the more we see he's good, he is big, he's supplying our need. You know, he told me that working will not make me rich. I need to measure he's a good God. His blessing make me rich. It's not my hard work make me rich. So we need to use this as in relationship, as finance. And the Lord started teaching me on I can apply in different aspect how I measure. It will measure back to me. The same measure I give, it measure back to me. In giving and other things the same. In finance, especially. Finance is very important in our life. I would say that if we don't do well in finance, if we don't understand in finance, we will not have freedom. We can do things. You know, finance, I think, very important. I believe one day I don't have to work. That's my measurement. So, because important, you know, we can do much for the kingdom. We can free ourselves. We can travel. We can do things that we like, you know. And so we have to plant the seed. So, I mean, the seed, the measure to see the overflow, to have good judgment upon us. Like, okay, this is God. I'm serving. Of God rules, who have all things, right? He all, heavens belong to Lord, and everything belong to Lord. If we look at Psalm 24, let's do Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. I believe the earth is the Lord. That's right, and all its fullness, the world, those who dwell therein. So the earth is the Lord and fullness thereof. So if the earth is the Lord and it has on that name, I believe if we can see ourselves that way, we can measure himself that way. We can see ourselves the way that God sees us. And I believe we're going to experience more and more in life for the blessing, for the kingdom. I don't need a lot of things, but I just want to have a lot of money. So I want to fund for the kingdom. I want to help people. And so that's kind of in finance, I use that. Just let the Lord be teaching me, showing me all these things. I know it's hard to explain And the Lord taught us in spiritual world, and we're trying to communicate in verbal human term. It's really hard, especially like from someone speak different language like me. And I hope you get some a little bit, but come back to judgment. The way God wanted me to live, he said, I want you to live free from offense. Like just give people mercy, even though sometimes they did you wrong, and forgive them and give them mercy, because you need mercy sometimes. And I will end up with Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. So this exercise he showed me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. So we receive information from by gates from eye, ear, and our eye or ear, our perception. And right here, Paul was a final brethren, whatever things were true, are noble, are just, are pure, are lovely, good report, any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on this thing. So when we meditate on this thing, we don't have room to judge other brothers and sisters. We don't have room to think other than what God is thinking. We want to align up with our thoughts with heaven, our thoughts with heavenly realm, our thought with heaven, so the heaven can manifest in our life. I believe this time we're living, God about to manifest his goodness on his children and his blessing in finance, in many areas in our life, even healing in the churches. I believe it's going to be different. We're going to see the glory of God, the power of God, the healing of, dry out demons, that kind of thing. And we've been lost that for, I think, quite some time. I know there are still ministry doing that, but not as a whole, in general. I believe that the day to come, God can bring back to restore the church to the place that where the church of God is supposed to be operating daily. Amen. I think I'm through.
Would you go ahead and pray, Jet?
Sure. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, for your truth, for your loving kindness, for your mercy. Lord, help us daily to grow up into you in all things, that we may disperse, express who you are every day of our life, so people around us can see you in us, can see God, can see heaven in us. When we share with conviction, when we share this conviction of righteousness, provoking them to recognize their God among us, Lord, help us to associate, help us to communicate with you, in tune with your spirit daily. We thank you, Father. We need more grace. We want to live the gospel. We want to live freely toward you, freely to exercise our right in kingdom of God. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.